Module 8, Lesson 5.3, Sleep Training in Response to Early Morning Waking. Here are a few of the key things that you're going to want to keep in mind if your child struggles with waking up too early in the morning. So first off, you need to ensure that your child has a balanced and age-appropriate day routine. That's one of the first things you need to work on in order to encourage a later morning wake up, as well as weaning any sleep associations that might be contributing to the problem. Do keep in mind that early morning waking is usually one of the hardest sleep issues to resolve, and it can take up to 2 to 4 weeks to improve. This is because the early morning is the lightest sleep of the whole night, and your child has already probably slept for quite a while when they wake up in the early morning, so it may be very difficult for them to fall back asleep if they wake up during that time. So how do we respond to early morning waking? Scenario number one. Your child wakes up, say, within 30 minutes of the desired wake-up time and does not fall back to sleep within 5 to 10 minutes. So in this scenario, you would just simply move the morning nap slightly earlier by 10 to 15 minutes. That prevents overtiredness and helps keep your day on track. However, if your little one wakes 30 minutes or more before your desired wake-up time, this is a little bit more complicated. You would treat this as a night wake-up and respond with your settling method after waiting 5 or 10 minutes to see if they can self-settle. During this time, you want to keep your child in their bed until as close to the desired wake-up time as possible. Keeping them in a dark bedroom with limited social interaction will encourage a later morning wake-up in the following days. If they do fall asleep during this time when you're implementing your settling method, you would let them sleep until your desired wake-up time, or potentially even up to 30 minutes past your desired wake-up time if your goal is to gradually shift their schedule a little bit later altogether. If your child woke up especially early, say 45 minutes or more before the desired wake-up time, and didn't fall back asleep, you would need to adjust their day depending on their age. So if your little one is 4 to 8 months old, you could implement a bridging nap or try that. If they're 9 months or older, you would just simply adjust their morning nap or their lunch nap if they've already dropped their morning nap to be 15 to 30 minutes earlier. That's also going to prevent overtiredness and help keep your day on track. So let's look at an example. Let's say that you want to establish a 7 to 7 schedule. So your desired wake-up time is then 7 a.m. Say your child wakes up at 5:45 in the morning. You would then wait for 5 or so minutes to give them some space just to resettle on their own and see what happens. And if they don't fall asleep, then you would start applying your chosen settling method. You would follow your method for as long as possible. My recommendation would be until about at least 6:30. Once you reach this time, you can either continue for another 15 to 30 minutes if your child is kind of just calmly playing in their bed, or you would then do their morning wake up if you've already had a long time of crying and protesting. Let's just say, though, that your child did actually fall back asleep at 6:20. You would then let them sleep until 7 a.m. and then wake them at that time to start their day. So in the case that your baby is aged 4 to 8 months old, woke up much too early in the morning, and you've already tried your chosen settling method to get them back to sleep and they have not fallen back to sleep, you would then respond with a bridging nap. A bridging nap is a very short 10 to 15 minute nap that should happen around the time of your desired morning wake-up time in order to help bridge that gap between when your child actually woke up too early in the morning and when their first morning nap should be on your ideal schedule, without reinforcing the early morning wake-up by moving that whole schedule earlier. That's actually what happens. So if our child wakes up too early in the morning and then we move that morning nap time too early and allow them to sleep for that full length, that full nap length there, that actually regulates and resets their body clock to wake up at that early morning wake up time every day. So the bridging nap helps us move past that. It encourages them to actually wake up later the following day and helps us get to the point where we can do that morning nap at the ideal time. Like I said, the bridging nap works best for babies aged 4 to 8 months, so just keep that in mind. So how do we use a bridging nap? We want to start the bridging nap around the desired morning wake-up time. So if your aim is a 7 a.m. wake-up, you would then do the bridging nap between 7 and 7:30 or so. If your baby does not fall asleep by 7:30, you would forget the bridging nap and bring the morning nap slightly forward so that your baby doesn't get too overtired. We don't want to bring the morning nap here too much forward. Otherwise, the problem that I mentioned before can happen with the day routine being all messed up. But we just want to move it maybe 15 or 20 minutes earlier to prevent too much overtiredness. However, it could be, in this case, if the bridging nap has not worked, that your child is awake a little bit longer than what their age-appropriate awake time would be, and that's okay for a few days as we're helping pull that early morning wake up, hopefully a little bit later. We also want to keep your child awake for an age-appropriate minimum awake time after the bridging nap, if they are able to do the bridging nap. So at 4 to 5 months, that would be about 1 hour and 45 minutes. At 6 to 8 months, about 2 hours. And then from here, then you would let your baby do their normal day routine with the morning nap. So for example, if they've slept for their bridging nap from 7:15 till 7:30 and they're 6 months old, then you would want to start their normal morning nap around 9:30, keeping that 2 hour ideal awake time in mind. We also want to let your baby do the bridging nap in the baby carrier or stroller, as they often are not completely tired enough for a nap at this time, and they may find it harder than usual to settle. However, do keep in mind that if your baby doesn't usually fall asleep easily in the stroller or carrier, you can also try settling them in bed for the bridging nap with your chosen settling method for about 15 minutes. And here are a few things of what not to do with the bridging nap. So we don't want to let baby sleep longer than 10 to 15 minutes maximum, as otherwise, as I said before, this will reinforce the early morning wake-ups for the following days. We also don't want to use nursing or feeding to sleep for a bridging nap, as it's highly likely that you are weaning this association away. And even if you're not weaning this association away, this could just be a little bit confusing for your little one. We don't want to do the bridging nap too close to the morning nap time either, as this will make settling for the morning nap really difficult and potentially then cause the whole day's naps to fall out of rhythm. So make sure that you're trying to do the bridging nap around your desired wake-up time. We also don't want to implement bridging naps more than 3 to 5 days in a row. This is not supposed to become the new normal of every day having to do a bridging nap. They should only be used as an occasional intervention to keep your little one's day rhythm on track and to pull their time that when they wake up in the morning to be to that desired wake-up time. So let's look at an example. Let's say your 5-month-old baby wakes at 6 a.m. That's 1 hour before, say, your desired wake-up time of 7 a.m. You attempted to resettle her to sleep until 6:45, but she didn't fall back to sleep. So here, you would get your baby up, feed her, and then put her in the carrier at 7:15 for that 10 to 15 minute bridging nap. By waking her up at 7:30 a.m., that's going to help her still be tired enough at 9:15 or so to fall asleep for her normal morning nap time, and that's going to help the rest of the day stay in rhythm. So what if the bridging nap just does not work? If your little one's early morning waking has not shown signs of improvement after 3 to 5 days of using a bridging nap, it may just not be the best solution for your child. There are some children, some babies, that this just does not work well for. So in that case, you would continue trying to push your child towards the desired morning nap time as much as possible in order to correct the early waking. That may mean that they are, yes, a little bit more overtired going down for their morning nap, because you're extending that awake time to try and get them as close to the ideal morning nap time as much as possible. That's okay in the first few days, and that's quite normal, as long as we're starting to see that they're starting to wake up a little bit later in the morning. If you've tried to extend night sleep with resettling or using a bridging nap for 2 weeks without improvement, though, you may need to make some changes to the start time of the first nap. And this goes for babies, but also for toddlers. So as I've said before, the start time of the first nap of the day plays a really big role in setting your child's wake-up time in the morning. And so for the little ones, the first nap of the day is that morning nap. For toddlers, that's going to be your midday nap. So if your child begins to regularly wake up too early in the morning, it may just be time to start gradually pushing the starting point of that first nap slightly later. And you can have a look at your child's age-appropriate day routine for our suggested nap times at different ages. If you've done all of the above, but nothing seems to be working, I would recommend that you register for one of our upcoming group coaching sessions so that you can talk with one of our sleep coaches to see what else we can do to encourage a later start to your day.